The permanent fund dividend is something I think everybody expects to pay taxes on. In fact, there's even a line devoted to it on our income tax returns. But the extra $1,200 is a source of concern because not only is our dividend higher than in recent years, this additional $1,200 is putting sort of a new twist on it. Being in your line of work, you must see that people don't often prepare for taxes. It's not something they want to plan for. It's like planning for a cavity or something.
What I've heard more of is how people want to spend it. Either it's me online looking for a rowing boat or other people planning on a trip this year for the holidays with a permanent fund dividend. People are getting a huge sum of money. There were a lot of different reasons for it. You know, the expectations of the state government for the use in the village. Because the economy is such, most people are looking at it as another form of supplemental income to address day-to-day expenses. And what in the past would not be a significant hurdle, oh, I'm going to owe taxes, no problem. Or my child will have some money due on their tax return. The point is because it's a large amount, historically large amount, it bumps people into higher tax brackets and or especially for parents with other items going on in their tax return, itemized deductions or different the various different credits, those are all based on income limits. So
right.
It has a negative effect that kind of rolls through someone's tax return.
Yeah, so $237 per child is kind of the conservative figure. There's actually scenarios where you could end up paying much more tax on your child's permanent fund dividend.
A lot of parents have been fiscally responsible by taking their children's dividends and saving them, putting them in investments for future education. There are different investment vehicles to minimize or eliminate taxes. But in many occasions, what happens is people want to have more control on their children's investments so they don't put it into a 529 plan or buy Series E bonds for this or that. So if the child is under 14 and their income reaches certain levels, they can have their income tax at their parents' effective tax rate. So something that is being taxed at 10%, if they have other sources of income, it can throw them into a much higher bracket.
Up until recently, my children haven't had much in the way of unearned income except for the permanent fund. But there are situations where your child is working or maybe part of your family business on a fishing boat or something where they have earned income, and this $3,200 is going to put them over tax threshold that you may not be expecting.
That'd be more the case of a married working couple that have one or two children that are under 13. Don't hold me to it, but I think the tax bracket between 15 and 25% breaks at $65,000 this year taxable income, and you have four people receiving money that's had no withholding. Where the crunch comes in is in the past, the amount was small. It may have already been covered by payroll withholding and or estimated tax payments. But where you have an amount like this that could add up to $15,000, it's going to throw people over that into another tax bracket. It really doesn't matter what category of income you want to say. The risk is there for all families.
So are you suggesting that people go back and look at like their tax returns from last year and sort of seeing where they fall, maybe calling their tax advisor to find out if this the permanent fund dividend plus the energy rebate is going to throw them up into a new tax bracket?
I think the primary message we want listeners to pay attention to is they have to make sure that they have the tax costs covered, whether it's estimated tax payments through their payroll withholdings or setting the money aside. That's the key message we're hoping people to get across, because as you mentioned earlier, I doubt if people would dispute the question of whether it is taxable. We all know it is. It's just that with the size and the state of the economy, the biggest concern are those people, married couples with one or two children, that maybe their total gross W-2s are less, or around $50,000 or less. In this town, they're living paycheck to paycheck, and these amounts are very significant now.
And while this money that we're all going to be getting here shortly could be regarded as a tremendous boon, next April 15th, there's going to be a rude surprise unless people contemplate setting aside, at the very least, this $237 that preliminary calculations suggest might be wise. I wonder, though, Brad, if you've encountered people who might think that the $1,200 energy rebate that's being thrown in this one year, we're getting this $1,200 on top of the regular permanent fund dividend. I wonder if you've encountered people who've assumed, because it's for energy relief, that it is exempt from taxes.
Since the day they started talking, the $1,200 have looked at that entirely different, not as energy relief, but just because I'm echoing what the governor's office was saying. Their intent was, we have an unexpected spike in revenues. Rather than using the normal vehicle of the permanent fund program to share these revenues with Alaska residents, we want to make this supplemental distribution. Our rationale is, people need this supplemental distribution now more than later. I don't know if that's really going to be a case where people think it's non-taxable. Really, there's kind of two types of individuals in the world. There's savers and spenders, and the savers will have themselves covered. The spenders, it's whether and how they're spending it. And they can easily spend it all as long as they know that they've accounted for what they're going to need for taxes. That I think people can understand. You want to pay your income taxes with the dollars that are going to be taxed, rather than using next year's earnings to pay this year's taxes. So, you know, just with that logic, here's the permanent fund. Set the money aside. Make an estimated tax payment if you're afraid you can't hold it till April 15th. A number of people can go to their employer and adjust their federal withholding, and all of it's taken care of.
What's your advice for somebody who might be listening to us talk about this and might be more confused than ever about whether they're going to have to pay a lot more for themselves or for their children in April? Do you suggest that they get a hold of a human tax preparer, or do you suggest
that's going to be easier than getting hold of the IRS?
Okay. Are there any sort of references available that have addressed this very unusual circumstance that you've seen?
Permanent fund? No. It's more common sense, I think, for a lot of people. People know they're going to owe tax, but it's what action they take.
And the basic action is just setting aside a sufficient portion of this windfall to pay for the tax.
And if you're afraid that you can't control yourself, send an estimated tax voucher in either September 15th or December 15th. And then that way it's in deposit with the federal government.